A very good morning. Very glad to see you. I do see some new faces. So glad that you can come and worship with us. And it's a joy to be back with you. Now this morning I'm going to speak on the topic of spiritual renewal. Now what is a spiritual renewal? Is there a difference between spiritual renewal and revival? Now in many ways, the two things are the same. They are the result of the consciousness of the spiritual need. And Christians are willing to spend time in prayer seeking the Lord for revival, for a renewal. And God works. He sends revival. Now, revival is always the work of God. And then there's something else we realize. That is, in revival, it spreads. Revival affects the family, the church, and the community. And when God sends a revival, people feel the power of the working of God in the church and in the believer. So in revival, we see that it spreads. And people are revived. Then what is a renewal? Before I talk about renewal, now this country has experienced great revival. In the 18th century, it is known as the Great Awakening. And we know that there are great preachers in the past, men whom God has used to revive the church, to revive the nation. So I say it affects not only that person, it affects the family, it affects the church, it affects the community, and even the country at large. Now we have men like John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, and there are lesser known revivalists like Joseph Benson and John Fletcher. I think these are names some of you may be familiar with. And revival happened in the northern part of this country, in Wales, in Scotland. And it just spread. As a result, many lives were transformed, changed, revived, and many won to the kingdom of God. We know the Wales revival by Evan Roberts. I mean, over in Southeast Asia, we read much about his revival in Wales. Now then, what is a spiritual renewal? You see, this revival happened. Right? And for that matter, in Southeast Asia, we experienced a revival in the 1930s when John Soon came to Singapore from China. He brought great revival among the Chinese Christians in Singapore. And many of our grandparents, or even parents who were born in those years, came to know the Lord through the revival of John Soon. Okay, and we know that the Bible Presbyterian Church in Southeast Asia was born through the revival of John Soon. Okay, so our founders were influenced by the ministry of John Soon and came to know the Lord, and then decided to give their lives to serve God, and they started the Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore. But we noticed something. Revival did not last forever. Right? It did last for some time. In a few cases, it did last for a few years. But then it came to an end. Now, what after the revival? Unfortunately, Christians grow cold. You know, we are affected by the mundanes of life, the challenges. Okay? And then maybe in the modern world, okay, we are enticed by things of the world. There are so many challenges in life, and we're drawn away from God. Now, today we have not experienced revival. We wish and we pray that God send us another great revival. But do we have to wait for God to send another revival before we are quickened? No. We need a spiritual renewal. You see, we need something to sustain us. Not every month, but every day of our life. We need a renewal so that our Christian life will be sustained. You see, I've said earlier on that we face challenges in life. Things that will draw us away from God. Now, we need God to pull us back. We need Him to bring us back to Himself. What is our spiritual condition today? Are we affected by the things of this world? Can we say that our hearts is fully warm and hot for the Lord? Or are we like the church in Laodicea, that in Ephesus, we have left the first love? Are we being trapped by some kind of a sin in our life? Now, when we realize these things, I hope we realize that there is a need for a spiritual renewal. And this renewal happens to every individual Christians. We do not need a national renewal. We need a personal, daily experience of renewal in our life. Now, this morning, we want to take a look from the book of Nehemiah to see a few things about this renewal. We want to see the sensing of the need for a renewal. How to be renewed. Of course, it is all based on the first chapter of Nehemiah. But let me give you a timeline of this book. I know many of you would know the historical background of the book, but just a quick background of the book. Now, when it comes to the timing, now we are giving a very general timing, alright? For example, now the year 722 BC, the northern kingdom was taken by the Assyrian into captivity. Now, that I think most people agree. The northern kingdom, 10 tribes, were taken into captivity. And we know the reason. Because in that 10 tribes, there was no good king. They all departed from Jehovah God. Many worship idols. They neglected the word of God. So, in 722 BC, they were taken away by the enemies. Southern kingdom was spared for some time. And we also know why. Because in the southern kingdom, there were some good kings. Now we know kings like Hezekiah, Josiah, they were good kings. Okay. And because of these good kings, southern kingdom Judah was spared. For at least 150 years. Now, from this historical background, we do see something that when there is righteousness in a country, God showed mercy. Judah wasn't perfect. There was many of the kings who were not faithful to God. And God did not destroy the nation until in the year 586 BC when the Babylonian came, took them all into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. Now I say timing, I am only giving you a general timing because someone says, you know, it should be in the year 587. But let's take it as 586 BC. They were taken into captivity. But God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 verse 10 that in 70 years' time, I will bring the people back to his land. See, God is always merciful to his people. It's very interesting that when we look at the life or the history of Israel, you know, they have not been faithful to God. Today, in Israel, there's only about 1% Christians. So a very small number of Christians. But yet God continued to show his mercy to this country. We know why. Because it is a nation chosen by God. And God wanted to manifest his glory through this nation. See, God could have destroyed them. There are so many who do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. But God spared this nation. Now, when we look at the nation, we see our own life. Isn't it? We have not been faithful to God. But God has been merciful to us. We are blessed. We are blessed in so many ways. Right? We have food, we have houses. You know, we enjoy all the good things in this life. These are tokens of his goodness. And I hope we are thankful. So we should not take all these benefits for granted. We should always consider that having been blessed by God, we need to come back to him. Because from time to time, we do stray away. And when we realize that we have strayed, we have sinned, God leaves the door open so that we can come back to him. So 70 years later, the Israelites return to Jerusalem. But we know that the return of the Israelites happened slightly earlier, 50 years after the captivity. The first 50,000 of them returned. Now, again, 50,000 is a round figure. Because in the Bible, we are told that it was a figure of 49,900 plus. 50,000 returned. And the leader of that return was Zerubbabel. He led them back to Israel. The intention was to rebuild the temple. They built it. So it was done by the year 516 BC, and it's just a figure to fit in the 70 years. Okay, 586 taken into captivity. 70 years later, in 516 BC, the temple was rebuilt. So there is a place of worship. Now there is an identity, and we know that for the Jews, you know, the temple in Jerusalem is their identity. A place of worship. A place where they go to meet God. Now, did all the trouble of the enemies disappear when the temple was rebuilt? No. The people were still under the constant threat of the enemies. Right? The enemies would come and cause some trouble. You know? The Jews were not living in a peaceful state in that sense. The wall of Jerusalem was broken down. The enemies could enter into the city easily. So it was an unguarded place in that sense. We know that the wall is a form of defense, but there was no defense. And in the year 5458 BC, Ezra led in the second return. And in this second return, it was a spiritual affair. Because when Ezra returned to Israel, he led in the reading of the law. So there was a public reading. Right? If you read chapter 7, people spent time listening to the word of God. So there was, in a sense, a revival because it affected many people. However, the wall was still broken down. And it took another few years before Nehemiah returned in the year 445 BC. And the record of Nehemiah's return is in his book. And we have just read the first chapter of Nehemiah's return. And he led in the rebuilding of the wall. And we are told that when the people put their heart together, the wall was rebuilt in a very short time, 52 days. That was an amazing feat, to have the wall built in 52 days. Now, the wall was built, but did the enemies left them alone? No, they come, they laugh at them, they say, yeah, you can build this wall, but your wall is weak. You know, even if a fox jump on it, it will just collapse. And that was what the enemy said to them. Nehemiah encouraged God's people. It is a time of spiritual renewal. Every Jew, every believer of Jehovah God must seek to do God's will. Put their trust in God. Now, after the rebuilding of the wall, Nehemiah went back to Shushan. He was the king's cupbearer, remember? So he came back after serving a term in Shushan, helped build the wall, and then he went back. Then in Nehemiah chapter 13 verse 6, we are told that he returned to Jerusalem. Now, that return was 20 years later. So when we read chapter 13, sometimes it confused us, right? Was he not back in Jerusalem? Then how come chapter 13 says he returned to Jerusalem? Now that was his second return. So after building the wall, he went back to Shushan. And for a period of 20 years, he was in Shushan and then he came back to Jerusalem. Now there is a little history of the book of Nehemiah. Now when Nehemiah returned, or his second return, did he see a peaceful Jerusalem? No. Alright. We are told in chapter 13 verse 7, "And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliasib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God." Now who is Tobiah? Tobiah is an Ammonite official. Someone say he was appointed governor. Okay. Now, he was still giving the Jews a lot of problem. And we are told that there was a chamber that was built for him in the courts of the house of God. Now, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a believer of Jehovah God. The question is, why did he have a room, an office space in the house of God? So apparently there was a problem there, right? So we know that up to this point in time, Israel was not in a peaceful state. But then how come nothing was done? There was no opposition to this man, preventing him from having probably an office in the house of God. Well, I believe that there was this problem of spiritual apathy. Now, what is a spiritual apathy? It's a kind of coldness and indifference, you know. The wall is built, the temple is built, we are okay now. just let it flow on its own. Okay. There was much of a spiritual callousness on the part of the religious leader of Israel. Now, spiritual apathy is another problem of ours. Right? We have a church to go to, you know, we are happy, it's peaceful here. Right? Why should I be concerned whether, you know, people come to know the Lord? I don't have to be concerned whether people come to church. That's a church. If they want, they come. Now, I think there's many forms of spiritual apathy in us. You know? Do we see that this is our church? Now, then we have to answer the question, what is then a church, right? Now, a church is not a building. If you talk about building, I say this is a beautiful building. Okay? He says, why is it beautiful? I mean, for us who come from Singapore, we say this building is, I think, 107, 108, 109 years old. I mean, I can't remember. I saw somewhere when this building was built. Okay, it's over 100 years. Right. Now, we know that a church is not a building. If there's a building here and there's no one in this place, it is not a church. So we need people to come to worship God. And when God's people gather together, this is a church. And therefore a church is a lively organism, not something dead, lifeless, a building with pews and lightings. Okay. So is that of your concern? Whether or not people come to church? I hope we take this responsibility upon us and says, I am concerned with the church. My brother, my sister, whether or not they are coming to church is my concern. And when we have that concern, then we'll pick up a phone, we'll call the person. We encourage a person to come back to church. We want to invite Christians to come to church. We don't want to be apathetic to the life in church. So God help us take away the apathy from us. Now we come to the next point, the need for renewal. Do we realize the need for renewal? I've just mentioned earlier on. Is there some sin in our life? Is there coldness? Is there fervent love for the Lord Jesus Christ, or that love is no longer there? Something else is more important in our life. Now, if we sense that, I think that is a good sensing. But that is not enough. We have to seek God for a renewal. See, we don't have to ask, Lord, revive the whole church. Rather, we ask, God, renew me spiritually so that I can be a vibrant, I can be effective, a witness for you. And that's what we should be praying. So how do I know that I need a renewal? Number one, we must recognize the problem. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the text that Chairman read with us earlier on, someone came back, or someone came to Shushan, and then Nehemiah called him. Tell me what is going on now in Jerusalem. Tell me what is the situation there. Okay, and then he reported. He says, and they say unto me, they are the people who visited Shushan, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. So they reported this to Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah at that point in time was the king's cupbearer. In all aspects, he's living a very comfortable life. And not only that, he has certain kind of power, right? Being, you know, very close to the king. Okay? But Nehemiah took great notice. Not just simply notice, but he took great interest in what was going on in Jerusalem. Heard that the people was in great affliction, the wall broken down, you know. Now, being the king's cupbearer in a place of prestige and power, he could have ignored the message or the news carried to him. Right? He could have ignored it, you know. I'm too busy. Okay? Yeah. Now, if he had done that, we say that Nehemiah was spiritually apathetic. Right? He was indifferent. After all, I'm so far away. Okay? Yeah. I've been taken into captivity long ago, you know. I have nothing to do with that place. But the Bible tells us that he wept and mourned certain days. In verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." That was his response. Now, that was the situation in Jerusalem. But let's look at our situation. Do we weep and mourn for our spiritual condition? When was the last time we sensed that I'm so far away from God, you know? And I'm so sorry that I've departed from God for such long time. I need to come back. I need a restoration. I need a renewal. When was the last time we had that thought in our spiritual life? Unfortunately, many of us don't. You know, we just carry on life as it is. Right? I mean, I'm just happy. Things are going on well. Okay. And I just hope that nothing bad happens. Huh? And usually when something challenges our life, now that is when we are called to consider. And unfortunately, many Christians do not turn to God. Troubles, tribulation, trials resulted in them moving further and further away from God. Now I hope we realize this, that when something happens, okay, please don't wait for that something to happen. But if something happened, probably God is giving us some kind of wake up call. We need now to look at our own life, see where we are in our relationship to God, and most likely God wants us to return to Him. So come back to Him. Don't leave Him. Don't go further away from Him. Your solution to all your problems comes when we return to God, because He is still the mighty God. There's no problem that He cannot solve. The problem is we have no faith in Him. So may God help us. So Nehemiah responded by weeping and praying. Okay. We want to look at the prayer of Nehemiah. It's very interesting. Let's look at verse 5. and said, I beseech thee, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his covenant commandments. Let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sin of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned against thee. Now, in this prayer, I want you to notice something. And that is, Nehemiah prayed to God who is a covenant-keeping God. And he appeals to God's covenant with his people. Now today, we appeal to God and we say, God, you will not leave me. God, you have promised to help me, right? We are appealing to him because he is God who keeps covenant. He keeps his promise. He will not fail you. So that is the appeal of Nehemiah. And next we notice he acknowledged his own sin. He says, both I and my father's house. So he confessed his own sin. He confessed the sin of his father's house. In fact, he confessed the sin of the nation of Israel. He says, the sin of the children of Israel, somewhere in the middle of the passage which I've just read. Okay. Now, he acknowledged this fact, that many of their problems were attributed to sin. Now, sometimes we say, you know, is that too simple a reason for all our troubles? Now, if we look at our life carefully, it is true that many of our problems is due to our sin. Right? I mean, it can be as simple as if we are not spending time to do our studies and we fail our exam, then the problem lies with us, right? Okay? You're supposed to have enough rest, but you're not resting, not have enough sleep, probably doing something else through the night. I'm not saying something legit, I'm saying, you know, like playing games or watching a show, and then you can't stay awake the next day. It's our problem. Right? We have to keep our body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost, healthy. It's our responsibility. God has given that to us. What about relationship? We have relationship problem because of maybe the way we behave, the way we talk, the way we respond, right? Yeah. So it is not trivial when we sin. There is consequence. And sin many a time breaks relationship. So we need to come back to God. So Nehemiah confessed his sin, his family's, and the people of Israel's sin. Now who did they sin against? Nehemiah says, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God. The term great and terrible. Now, God is not one that when we look at him, is terrible looking. That's a wrong image of God. The word terrible there simply means he's awesome. He's majestic. Now we should always have that view of our God. That this is a majestic God that we come before. He's the King of Kings. If we think that it is a privilege to stand before King, then I want to tell you, it is the greatest privilege for us to stand before the King of Kings. And we should have that kind of thoughts in our life. You know, this morning we are in God's holy presence. It's a great privilege. And then Nehemiah appealed to the privilege of intercession. He says, let thy ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Now, God has given us his privilege to call upon him. He has invited us to pray. In the New Testament, the Lord says, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. It's that simple. A little child understands this. But we are not using this privilege. We are not calling upon our God. You know? So, Nehemiah prayed to God based on the privilege that was given to him. And he has this assurance that God listens and answers prayer. Now, there's something else which forms the basis of his prayer, and that is the covenant relationship. It's a very special relationship. God has promised to be with his people. Now, God has promised to be with you. It's a covenant relationship. And so he says, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant, which I pray before thee, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant. Verse 6. So God, hear me, please. Because we have this covenant relationship. Will God not hear? The answer is yes. Then verses 8 to 10 is quite interesting. Verse 8 says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Now, a Bible commentator noted this. The word if is not in the original language. He says, if ye transgress. Now, we know the word if is a conditional clause, if ye transgress. But the word if is not in the original. In other words, Nehemiah says, you transgress, God will scatter you among the nations. Alright? It's a sure result. If you sin, you'll be scattered. Not if you sin. Okay. On the other hand, if you obey, but then the word if is not there, you obey, God will gather you back. There will be a regathering. That is in verse 9. But ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name here. Now, we know this scattering and gathering promise was found in the book of Deuteronomy. And that was what God said to Israel. You know, if you obey me, alright, I'll bring you into the land. But if you disobey me, alright, you will perish before you reach the land. And I believe Nehemiah remembered what God said in the book of Deuteronomy. And he said that to the people of Israel. You turn away from God, you'll be scattered among the nations. You return to God, he will gather you to the land, in the land. Now this is the promise that God has given to us. You know, if we turn back to him, he will not cast you out. If you ask for forgiveness, he's faithful, he's just, he will forgive you of your sin and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is the promise. You know, how much pain we have suffered because of sin. And when we confess, we have this joy of restoration because of God's promise, because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses me from all my sin. And then verse 11. Nehemiah says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now, this is chapter 1. He's now preparing to go back to Jerusalem to build the wall. Okay? And he prayed that God will prosper his way. Now, I hope whatever plans we have, may our schemes, plans, be all brought to God's attention. Let him direct our path. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and he will direct your path. Okay. So what decisions are you making in life? Studies? Work? Marriage? Now bring all these things to God. He will direct your path, because that is his promise. He is our covenant God, and he's a covenant keeping God. The summary of this morning's message. Now, do we sense the need of a spiritual renewal? I hope we sense it. Okay? Unless, you know, we are living a life that is constantly, consistently walking with God. If not, we need a renewal. Do we care for others? Now, if we don't, I've said earlier on, it is a form of spiritual apathy. Whether he comes to church or she comes to church or not, it's not my problem. If we have that kind of thought, then it's a spiritual apathy. And this morning we have learned a few things. The steps to renewal is first recognize our problem, then respond in prayer asking God to restore us, and then thirdly, repent. Turn back to God, and we have this assurance that he will renew us spiritually. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. A verse found in the book of Psalms. Right? Do you want to experience the fullness of joy in God's presence? Then we pray, God, renew me this day. And I hope we experience it daily in our life. Let me repeat again. We don't have to wait for another great revival. Renewal happened day by day when we walk with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons that we have learned from the book of Nehemiah. And we learned that renewal can happen in our life when we seek you. So we ask for your renewal. Lord, we need that renewal so that we will have strength to live for you, so that we can serve you effectively, so that we can be a great testimony for you in our place of work, studies, and even at home. Help us, we pray. And I pray that you will bless your people, send us out this day to be your light. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.